good afternoon, and I want to welcome our listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by SimTrainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, right across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss any of your firearms-related interests or needs. If it's a concealed carry you're interested in, or first time just getting exposed to firearms, or you want to take our advanced handgun series, no matter what the case might be, just give us a call. Along those lines, I want to start off today's show by just pretty much commenting a little bit about the SimTrainer difference. And I had the fortunate occasion this morning to talk to an individual who'd taken a class at a nearby facility over the years. He let his concealed holder's license lapse by a few months, so he came back and took the class at our facility in January. And we were having a little bit of discussion. He was like, man, I sure wish I started there, because I know more now after taking your class than I learned in that class, and I learned in all the personal research that I'd done since taking my first class. And
several years of actually carrying.
Absolutely. And we talked specifically about some items, and he mentioned something we're very, very proud of and we know makes a significant difference and kind of sets us apart from the rest of the classes, certainly in the area, if not throughout the entire state, and that's the legal portion. We have that attorney, our prosecuting attorney, come in and talk about both the civil and criminal aspects of concealed carry. Tells you when you can, when you can't, when you should, when you shouldn't, and he kind of brings the law to life. Instead of just reading the book and then wondering about situations, he brings the law to life, gives you scenarios, talks about different situations, and enables you to really grasp a pretty good understanding of the legal issues. And we know from so many aspects in our lives, the legal issues can sometimes be very, very hairy, and they can get you in a lot of trouble if you don't understand what you're doing. But by the end of that class, you may not like some of the things he has to say, but the good thing is you know where you stand, and you got a very, very good foundation upon which to go about embarking upon this whole concept of carrying a gun, potentially using a gun to defend yourself. And you got a pretty good insight as to what to expect. And I think that's so critical, because I tell my students all the time, and I know Mark and my other instructors feel the same way, teaching people to shoot is easy, quite frankly. That's the easy part of the job. As a matter of fact, so many of our students now, I'm going to guess 50 to 60, maybe even more than that percent of our students that go through the concealed carry class have a pretty good basis of knowledge, and they're very good at shooting guns because they buy into our system, which advocates, we want you to know how to shoot the gun before you come to that class. And by that, I want to mention two things. First of all, our class, our concealed carry class, is more a course to provide you with information about the serious responsibilities that go along with this whole process of owning, carrying, potentially using a gun. And, you know, we'd say right from the beginning, our goal is to have you walking out that door, scratching your head each night and saying, wow, there's a lot to grasp, a lot to try to work with here, because we want you thinking about situations, because it is a thinking game early on. The other side of that is we want you to feel so confident in your ability to handle the gun and make an accurate shot that if, in fact, and this is how it can realistically play out, our next class is being offered April 9th through the 12th. That's a Monday through Thursday evening in a couple of weeks. An individual completes that class on Thursday night. They take their certificate that we give them. They could go down to the sheriff's department the next day and get their file their application and submit the prints and the photograph and do that. And it could be a couple weeks. Let's say, they finish on the 12th, and by the end of the month, 30 days in April, by the 30th of April, the sheriff's department calls them and tells them their CHL is ready to be picked up. They go down there and they pick it up. They go home. They're proud of that. They now realize that they're legally entitled to carry a firearm on their person when they leave the home. They decide to do that. That very day could be the day it happens. And we tell people that you have to be confident in the functional operation of your gun and your ability to draw that gun from a concealed position and make a deadly force decision in a split second. And that's a serious responsibility. And I want to encourage people to understand that that's not the time to be figuring out how to rack around into your chamber, how the gun's going to work, how you're going to deactivate the safety if you have a safety. Those things have to all have been thought out and, more importantly, practiced ahead of time before you get yourself in that situation. And that's where we push our people to try to get them, number one, to take our a basic handgun class and or private lessons, and then they start practicing on their own during our recreational shooting hours so they get pretty proficient with the gun. And I will tell you that one thing that's increasingly popular is we're having increased enrollment in our advanced handgun series, 1 through 5, because people are saying, wow, the basics were good. Now I want to go from here. Those were the basics. Now I want advanced training. And by advanced training, all we're talking about is applying basic fundamentals under increasingly challenging circumstances. People come all the time and say, what do you mean by advanced training? And I know in law enforcement for years, people used to say, well, I want to go to the next level. And basically, once you learn the basic fundamentals, really the only thing instructors can offer you are more challenging circumstances under which to apply those repetitive fundamentals so that you get real good. And we tell people all the time, we want you to go from, you know, the people that come to us from the beginning, they basically are in a state of mind which we call unconscious incompetence or unconscious competence. Well, they're yeah. Incompetent.
They, yeah, when they yeah. start. Yeah,
when they
right
start out. Time. They're unconscious and they're incompetent and they don't even know it in some cases. Yeah. And that's okay because we take that person and through the course of our training and the protocols we put them through, we want them to achieve a level of unconscious competence. In other words, we want it to come second nature or natural. We don't want them to even think about the functional operation of the gun, how to obtain it from a position of concealment, how to present the gun, how to shoot the gun, how to reload the gun, because through practice, repetitive practice, they develop very sound skills along those lines, and that's very, very important. And then we work on what do you do in stressful situations? And then you say, well, how do you create stressful situations? Well, ask some of our students. We yell at them. That's a simple technique that we use. When they're standing there with a gun that is, they've just fired it to the point where the slide's locked back and they're just pointing at the target with an unloaded gun, we let them know it's not okay to do that. And we get them a little bit nervous when we yell at them, but we want them to perform and work through that little bit of an adrenaline dump and get them used to what's to come. And then there's other situations as you progress through the training. All the fundamentals of loading the gun, charging the gun, holstering the gun, drawing the gun, firing the gun accurately remain the same. But then we put them under increasingly challenging circumstances like having to move to position a cover, moving between positions of cover, having to select between shoot, don't shoot targets, shooting at moving targets while they're moving, using a barricade, low-level light, turning down the light situations because we know that the majority of circumstances or the majority of shootings occur in adverse light circumstances. And then we finish that advanced handgun series protocol in Handgun 5 with spontaneous assault, instinctive point shooting. And we see the progression. And I just think of the last class. We had 4 or 5 people who within the last year, they started with either a private lesson or basic. Actually, many of them started with first shots. They hadn't had any experience at all with firearms, and the next thing you know, a year later, they're performing very well in handgun level 5, and some of them are moving on to start shooting in our competitive shooting league on Tuesday night, which, by the way, is as much a competitive shooting league as it is, maybe more importantly, an opportunity to practice under the stressful environment of performing in front of your peers, having to remember a specific protocol or course of fire, moving to cover, shooting at moving targets, remembering to load when you're supposed to, and it gives you a chance as close as possible to replicate a real world situation. So our competitive shooting league on Tuesday nights serves two purposes, and that is to provide an opportunity for the competitive people to come out and compete in a legitimate, very structured and safe shooting opportunity, and then at the same time give the other people who, yeah, they're competing, but at the same time, many of them are there mostly for the practice of performing those routine basic functions under increasingly challenging circumstances and getting that prefabricated stress to provide them with a little bit of an adrenaline dump so they have to work through it and still perform at a very high level. And that's a unique aspect of our training and just the way we do things there. There was an article in one of the most recent United States Concealed Carry Association magazines about another range somewhere here in the Midwest that's doing something similar. And I read through that article and I told Mark, I'm going to have to get one put together here soon to talk about the things we do because we carry it a couple more steps beyond what they're doing. They're doing a great job, and I want to commend anybody that's in charge of doing training like that to continue to push their people to achieve their optimum potential and to encourage them to keep practicing to get better and better and better, because that's only going to be more beneficial for them if they ever get involved in a situation. And I hear people talk about what they do in their training, but I'll tell you, if you start out, no matter where you start, whether it's first shots or basic handgun, private lessons, concealed carry at our place, you're going to be exposed to an environment that is truly professional and very progressive. We're proud of the fact that in our own estimation and in the accounts of so many people we talk to, no one does it better. We're very proud of that. And it's a unique opportunity for you to really take your shooting skills to a high level. So if you're so inclined, I want to encourage you to stop by, give us a call, send us an email, whatever the case might be, and we'd be more than glad to talk to you about where you fit in. We have people who, they've got a pretty good foundation. They move right into the handgun series, and that's just fine. We're okay with that. And we will take you, our goal is to make you better when you finish than you were when you started, and that plays out time and time again. If you'd like to get on the air today, any topic, there's been several things that have been floating around on the internet and in the news, and some very controversial issues right now are kind of gripping the country, and you have an opinion one way or another, give us a call here at the radio station. The number again here for our people outside the area is 457-1290. That's 457-1290. Just give us a call here in the studio, and we'll be more than glad to get you up in the queue.
And we do have one person on the phone right now. That leaves several lines open for others if you'd like to call in. But let's go out right to the phones and talk to Jason from Piqua. Jason, thank you for calling the show. How can we help you?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can indeed.
All right. I just spent some time on the Attorney General's website looking for laws concerning concealed carry, open carry. How do you guys keep up on everything?
That's a good question. There's several sources for information, and the Attorney General's website is a good place to start. I also go out to the Ohio Revised Code, and I read the actual law to find out what is out there. I pay attention to the legislation and read the proposed changes to the laws. Right there, they usually include the edits to the Ohio Revised Code, so you can see what the old law was, or what the old law currently is now, and what they're proposing the change would be, and just keep track of it as it goes through. There are several good references for summaries on what the laws are. I mentioned the Ohio Revised Code. It's section 2923 is what covers most of the concealed carry information. Handgunlaw.us is a good source. The National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action is another good place to go. They have a whole page on gun laws for the whole country with sections for each of the states. The Buckeye Firearms Association has a great education guide that if you just go to BuckeyeFirearms.org and click on the education guide, there's a list of several articles that they've written that talk about Ohio law. So there's a lot of places to go.
Well, thank you. I'll be checking those out.
Okay, and we'll have links. I've already put links to those up on our Facebook page. So the easy way to get there is to go to sim-trainer.com/radio and then click on the Facebook link, and that will take you to our Facebook page. And I put some links there for all of those that I just mentioned. That will take you right to the information that you need. We need to take a break, our first break of the hour. So if you'd like to call the studio at 457-1290, and we will be back right after this break. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRAnews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
And welcome our listeners back to the show. If you want to get on the air, be sure to give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll get you in the queue and let you talk whatever you want to talk about on the air today. Last caller talked about how do we keep up on things, and I just wanted to comment to our listeners and respond to him. I've got a real unique way to do it. I'd simply send Mark a text, or I call him on the phone and I say, hey, I want you to do this in less than 30 seconds, or send me a text of one sentence, maybe two, summary of whatever the recent change was, because I don't want to get muddled down. So I have a tremendous resource right at my hand. And you also have a tremendous resource, because one of the reasons went with this show was because we want to get information out there. And Mark is a tremendous source of information. He bounces stuff off of Jim Long, our attorney, and he stays very closely in line or in tune with what's going on, not only in the state, but around the country. And I see lots of emails going back and forth that I get between those two. And then ultimately, we have an opportunity to share that with our membership and with our listeners. And that's a big benefit, I think, to you, the listener, for about this show. And it was one of our main intentions, because without that, you didn't have that source of information. And we know that there's lots of misinformation that's distributed out there. And we just want to make sure that we get it straight. And we at least encourage people to look in different ways to find the truth and to find accuracy in particularly legal issues that are involved. So that's the way we do it. And I know Mark's glad to do that for us. And he does a great job in that capacity.
Thanks very much, Jeff. And with that, it really is one of the big keys, that a lot of the things that you'll hear in the media about firearms in particular, concealed carry, the use of force, so much of it is just not based in fact. And one of the things that we really wanted to do with this show was to make sure that every time we said something, we were going back to the original source, find as much of the real good information, try not to address issues ahead of when the data is available. And this thing down in Florida with Trayvon Martin is a classic example. So many people have jumped the gun on that and tried to find out, tried to fill in the gaps that weren't really available. The information is not available yet. And as a result, there's been a lot of misinformation that got out into the media. And I really fault people for not doing the research that they need to do before they start talking about issues about which they don't have the correct information. And part of the reason we haven't talked a lot about that case is because it's still being figured out. There's a lot of information out there. There's conflicting information. There's different reports and different stories and different people saying different things. And the last thing that we need to do is pile on and make the situation worse, not only for what's going on down there. I mean, things that we say here in Ohio aren't going to have a whole lot of effect on anything that happens in Florida in terms of that particular court case. But there's a lot of things that are going on here as well. And the last thing that we need to do is to get misinformation out into the community and have people start saying, well, those guys at it shooting from the hip said this. And, you know, we trust a lot of the stuff that they say because they always do a lot of research. Well, you know, that's the reputation that we're trying to protect.
Yep.
And so we want to make sure that before we comment on things, that we have enough information to be able to make a rational case for the situation. Know enough data, know the facts of the case, read the original reports, go back and talk to the folks as best we can, and sometimes we're able to do that, and then give you, the listeners of this show, and loyal listeners, quite frankly, you guys do it, contact us all the time, and we just love to hear from you. And then make a real solid case for what the truth is. Make sure that that is the good information that's getting out. We're going to need to take a break at the bottom of the hour here. So if you'd like to be on the show, and we've got Daryl and Don that are already waiting, and there's still some lines open, so call the studio at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome, listeners, back to the show. And right before the break, Mark was talking or mentioned some things that I just want to follow up on, and that's untruths and unknowns guiding people's reactions and opinions to issues. And he mentioned the Trayvon Martin case, that it's very applicable there. And it's obviously, it's very heated because it is spread nationwide. I noticed that they've got rallies scheduled in Dayton, and I know other jurisdictions are doing the same thing. And I quite frankly am of the opinion, based on factual information that I've sought out on my own, that there's a lot of people attending those rallies who are relying just on emotion and not looking at facts. And I just want to encourage people, regardless of what the circumstances were, if it's an incident like the incident up in Northern Ohio that we reported on last year, regarding way a CHL was treated by a law enforcement officer, all the way to this situation, let's wait until the facts are in before we go ahead and weigh in, because there's going to be we believe in our system of justice. We believe in our Constitution and what that gives us, the rights that it affords us as individuals, whether it's a Second Amendment issue, a Fourth or a Fifth or Sixth Amendment issue, or a First Amendment issue. Let's let it take its course, because if we don't let our justice system work the way it's supposed to work, then, you know, we're kind of hypocrites when we say that we believe in one aspect of the way our government works and not in others, particular way our system of justice works, because I think all of us would agree, or at least if you're listening to this show, you probably agree, we wouldn't want to live anywhere else in the world. We wouldn't want to be subjected to the laws and the interpretations of laws in those countries, or the lack of laws in those countries. And we just have to let time take its course. And one thing I want to mention as a law enforcement officer that many of you probably, you see it written, but you see so many times, and there's recent local cases, a Dayton case and a Trotwood case, where they say the investigation is ongoing and the police are not releasing the information. Well, the implication is sometimes by the media that we're withholding it and don't want to give it to you, when in reality is we can't give it to you for two reasons. Number one, it is legitimate investigative information that is going to be presented to a grand jury to determine whether or not charges are going to be obtained. And secondly, just all the facts aren't known. And a criminal investigation doesn't begin and end on any particular timeline. Oftentimes, as I believe, based on, again, factual information that's become available over time, facts come up down the road. It could be hours, days, up to a week or weeks later that weren't known initially. So therefore, just be patient. Let's see how it unravels, and just understand that untruths and unknowns guide emotion but don't necessarily support facts. Let's go out to the phones and see what our callers are concerned about today.
Daryl, welcome to the show. Daryl's calling from Middletown.
Yes. I had a couple questions. Just now started getting into armed security, and I was wondering if you'd give me any recommendations on type of ammunition to use.
Well,
you know, for my carry gun?
Well, whatever gun you have, we're just going to recommend that you have a jacketed hollow point from any of the major manufacturers. And Mark and I happened to go down to a seminar at the beginning of the year where we saw the Hornady rounds being shot in, their Hornady critical defense rounds being shot into ballistic gelatin, which is actually the best testing you can actually do for the performance of handgun rounds, or actually any type of round. And it was a tremendous performer. I will also tell you that I happened to recently see a special on Shooting USA on Wednesday night at the range, and I saw they tested again several different manufacturers' rounds, and they talked about different calibers. And the bottom line is this: as long as you choose a major manufacturer, by major manufacturer I'm talking about Hornady, Federal, Speer, Winchester, any of the major brands, and it's a jacketed hollow point, you can't go wrong. Because when you look at those, from our experience in testing those rounds, if you want to rate them on a scale of 1 to 10, I don't think any of them are a 10. Most of them are high 7s to mid to high 8s, and there might be a couple 9s in there, but the good thing is all of them do what they're supposed to do in ballistic gelatin, which the inference then is that they're going to do very similar in human body, if in fact it's used to defend your life in a critical situation.
And in fact, that has been tested as well to show that ballistic gelatin is a very good analog. The one other thing that I would add would be to use ammunition that is specifically designed and designated as designed for self-defense or for law enforcement use. That's basically the same thing, as opposed to generic, it's just a jacketed hollow point type range type ammunition. So because the quality control that is used for the ammunition specifically designated for law enforcement or personal defense use, critical defense, the quality control is a little bit more stringent, and I've never had one that didn't work. So that'd be the other side.
Okay. One other question, too. Also, as far as body armor goes, I'd want to get something that I don't want to have ammunition that could be defeated by my body armor, correct?
You don't want to have ammunition that could be defeated by your body armor?
Yeah, like if someone wants to disarm me or what have you.
In other words, you don't want your body armor to be defeated by your ammunition. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't want it to be defeated, no.
Well, here again, no matter how you phrase that, the bottom line is if you get body armor that's rated to handle any and all pistol or handgun rounds, by major manufacturers who have done extensive testing, you're going to be fine. And I just want to encourage you to just you don't have to do a whole lot of research. Just go onto their respective websites, and they typically have video and supplemental text that will tell you what they've done testing with, various distances, the types of rounds, and you can actually see them perform. Just the other day in my job, I happened to take in a piece of body armor from an individual who used to be a private security guard that wore that. He wanted to turn it to the police department to be destroyed. Well, before it's destroyed, we're going to actually shoot it at the police department, and we're going to do some videotaping, and we're going to do some, chart some of the results, because what we've, if we want to see if it basically performs like it has in the past, and what we find is the body armor is good well beyond its recommended life. However, the manufacturers put a life for liability reasons, I'm sure, but it does what it's supposed to do. And there are various factors that can degrade the fabric. For example, if it's exposed to moisture or perspiration and it's not cleaned properly, it's stored in, it's all bent up and wound up. So there's lots of things that can affect the ultimate performance. But if it's kept right, body armor lasts. It's certainly its lifetime and beyond. And it performs very well. But again, just like the ammunition, go with a major manufacturer and you can't go wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling the show. We had one other caller who's dropped off, but his question was about whether we teach people how to shoot. Now, basically, I think it was, I didn't get to talk to him yet, but do we start from the absolute beginning for somebody who's never handled a firearm? Or, and the answer to that is absolutely. That's really what our First Shots program was designed for. And then if you've had some experience, if you'd like to get more experience, or you're changing calibers, you're moving maybe from a .22 up to a personal defense caliber, yeah, we do that kind of training too. That's kind of what our basic handgun class is targeted at. And helping people also find exactly the right firearm for them, we do that in that basic handgun class. And if you've had more experience with the firearm and you'd like to get some advanced training and learn how you are going to respond under stress and learn how to deal with that stress and to place an accurate shot under stress, that's what our advanced handgun series is all about. And that's what Jeff described at the beginning of the show, some of the things that we cover in that series.
I also want to mention our Try It Before You Buy It program. That's designed for people who they might have a firearm or two in mind, or they want to compare one to the other or see how a new one that's out on the market compares to one they already have. For $10 plus the price of a box of ammunition, you can come in and use and rent any of our, I think now we have 32 in inventory, 32 popular brand and caliber firearms, and actually try them out. And I will just tell you, just based on requests from our customers and our own particular orientation, most of them are 9mm. We've started to expand our inventory of 45, because there's, last year being the 100th year anniversary of the 1911, created a movement towards the 45, and then several of the concealed carry individuals started going to 45 for a variety of reasons. But we emphasize the 9mm. We have a 45, and we've got a couple 40s now in stock. So the big thing, though, is understanding the functional operation. And the nice thing, for example, between the Springfield XD, XDM, the Smith & Wesson M&P, the Glock, the several of the others, they're safe action functional operation, so they're real easy to handle. And what several of our people that have completed, or our customers that have completed the basic class, was, wow, that was easy. I went stall to stall to stall. It was a different gun, but it functioned the same way each time. I didn't have to worry about it. And that's the beauty about selecting guns that are simple to operate, excellent performers, great reputation, and it just gives people an opportunity to test similar guns so they can find the one that specifically fits them. And it just gives you an added advantage over going to a gun store. And I want to tell you, one of our sponsors of our show, Old English, they do a great job up there. And one of the great things that we've partnered with them is, they send people to us because they get somebody who's hesitant, or they're just not quite sure. And even they might say, I'm not sure which one's best for you. Go down to Sim Trainer, try it out, come back to us, buy the gun. And we have a great reciprocal relationship with them. They send people to us for training. We send people to them for firearms. And it's just a great way to do it, as opposed to just going, hey, I saw an ad in a magazine, I went and bought this gun, I want to learn to shoot it. I will tell you from experience, the majority of the time that latter scenario plays out, that's not the gun for you. That's not the gun for them. Those people find out after they shoot the gun, they're like, wow, I didn't expect that, and you let me shoot that one, and that one felt much better in my hand, and now you've got a used gun that you got an issue with. Now, that's not a big deal, especially with some of our the dealers that we work with. However, the better way to do it is to take the training and or the try it before you buy it program up front, and then go and buy the gun, because then you'll make a very informed investment.
And we mentioned Old English because we know them well. They're a sponsor of the show, been around for a long time, but there are other gun shops in the area as well who do that. I know there's some guys out in Beaver Creek and some others around that they send folks to us to say, hey, you know, why don't you find out what's going to work for you? Give it a chance to try it out. What you hold in your hand is going to tell you if you don't like a gun, but until you've had a chance to shoot it, you really can't tell if you are going to like it. So try some stuff out, hold some things in your hands, figure out, kind of narrow it down a little bit, and then come on over to Sim Trainer and do try it before you buy it and figure out which exactly of those last couple that you've been working it out to fits you, suits you best, and works real well in your hand. And we love doing that. We love having these relationships with the gun shops around, and we're not going to jeopardize that relationship. So if you have worked with a gun shop, you have somebody that is your local gun shop, we really encourage you to support them. Go back to them to buy the gun after you figured out what works for you. We have that's the really the best way for all of us to be able to best serve our own customers.
And of course,
we'd love you to come back to the range and shoot from time to time after you've got your gun, too. So that's a good thing.
I want to mention one new service that we've recently added to our long lines of services relative to firearms. And we have an on-premises armor gunsmith. Doug Moore does a great job for us, and he can help you with selecting and installing sights, cleaning guns. That's something some people don't like to do, and some don't know how to do. He can clean it for you and show you how to clean it. He can do trigger jobs. He can do a lot of different things, but we now have a room for him in the North End, and he's on premises, and we have his cards at the front desk, and he works the front desk for sure on Monday and Wednesday evenings, and he's there almost every Tuesday during league. So if you have a particular need, be sure to get in to see Doug, and I'm sure he'll be able to take care of you.
It gives you a great opportunity to find out for sure how is it that you should be handling your firearm. If you'd like to be on the show, give us a call at 457-1290. 457-1290 is the number here into the studio, and we will get you up on the board. We're going to take our last break for the hour. So this is your opportunity to call in, the last one for this week. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Let's go back out to the phones and talk to Jerry, who's calling from Dayton. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I have a Colt, and I heard you talking about a gunsmith a little bit ago. And
right.
I have a Colt that I inherited from my dad, and it's a double Eagle. It's a little bit rare, I believe, from
okay.
what I've been able to find out. And I've taken that to range a couple times since he passed, and it seems to jam as it's throwing a live round in. I did that a few times. I'm just using full metal jacket ammo that I've taken down there.
Okay.
I wondered if he could possibly diagnose that.
And which caliber is yours?
It's a 10 mil.
Okay,
a couple things there. You mentioned, how often do you get to the range, just briefly? The first time?
I've only taken it once.
Okay, that in and of itself could be the issue, and it may not be a problem at all, and we could let Doug take a peek at that. And the beauty of having somebody who knows what they're doing looking at guns like that, they can usually identify whether it's mechanical or personal and then take corrective action. So what I would encourage you to do, he'll be working Monday and Wednesday night this week, and he'll also be there Tuesday night during league. And if you have time between 5 and 9 p.m. on any of those nights, just bring it by and ask to speak with Doug, the armor, and he'll be more than glad to look at it and maybe be able to find out what's going on for you.
That'd be great, because I've shot before. I go down with my Glock regularly, or I used to. It's been a couple of years. My son died, and we were going to come down and take the CCW together, but I will be down there for the rest of that, and maybe a little refresher course. But
good.
Yeah, I will bring it down. I don't even know, to be honest. I don't even know if my dad's fired. I don't even know if it's broke in. It
sure.
could be a problem like that.
Well, and again, it's a totally different gun than the Glock that you're used to, and that could be
right.
an issue. But let Doug make that determination, and he can get it back and functioning. And even though it's not necessarily an antique gun, it's a good gun you're going to hang on to, especially since it was passed on to you from your father, and it'll be a good gun to just have for a long time.
Well, I totally appreciate that, and I will be down.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
Take care. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jerry. There were a couple of interesting things that have happened this last week. The Second Amendment Foundation has had several suits filed across the country once the McDonald decision was released in 2010 that said the Second Amendment applies to the states. So they had filed several court cases, and two of them had decisions this week. One of them was in North Carolina, where there had been a ban that our emergency powers legislation that allowed the government to ban the possession of firearms outside the home. And that bill or that law was struck down by federal district court judge in North Carolina this week. This information was released on the 29th. So that's a huge change, because a lot of these places had said, you know, all we have to do is we can just say
declare an emergency.
Exactly. Declare an emergency, Katrina-like situation, and nobody can possess a firearm outside the home. And that was the restriction that they had outside the home in Katrina. They were actually going into homes and confiscating firearms.
At a time when all the people should have their firearms.
Absolutely. The most critical time when you might possibly need to defend yourself, that's when the government strips you of the most effective tool to do that. Well, the federal judge said, no, that's the wrong thing. That was a Judge Malcolm J. Howard, a senior United States District Judge for the Eastern District of North Carolina. So that's a great change. And then just the next day, there was another case in Massachusetts that had been decided. A federal court judge in Massachusetts granted a summary judgment stating that the state's denial of firearms licenses to permanent resident aliens was unconstitutional. Now, these are people who are foreign citizens, but they are in the United States legally, and they are permanent residents, and the Second Amendment applies to them as well. They are here legally. They live under our Constitution, and so that's another good decision. There were a couple other this month that the Second Amendment Foundation also had supported in other parts of the country. But you know, these are things that are going on right around us, and we need to pay attention to what's going on.
And the good thing about those decisions, although they're not directly applicable here, they'll be looked for as by the courts, other courts, as precedent. Cases that went before them to make decisions in the future.
Thanks for being part of our show. We're done. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.